verse 7. We'll start there, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And I hear the prayer request, not only in this church, other churches, in our own church overseas, people having serious situations going on. Operations, cancer, whatever it may be. And a lot of times, and this is not a judgment by me, because I deal with this my own self occasionally, a lot of times we are afraid or we are scared. Somebody comes to you, and this is probably, I think probably happened to some of you, but comes to you, and this has happened to you, they come to you for the first time, for some you've ever had to deal with it, and they say, well, you have cancer. And what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Oh, I mean, I'm not spiritual enough yet to jump up and down and say, thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm not going to lie to you. God's still working with me, all right? But there's things that come up in our life that are either they scare us or we're highly concerned if we want to put on a religious front. We'll use highly concerned or something like that. But to be honest, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, there's things that bother us. Well, what can help that? Well, what we want to have going on is to have some kind of peace in our life when these things happen. I know in that typhoon, and you hear me talk about it often enough, thousands and thousands of people killed, the stench of death through the whole city for months. It was a tough thing. And to be honest, I wanted peace. I wanted peace. God, well, brother, you say God killed you, you're just going to heaven. That's true. But in that meantime of waiting, I wanted peace. You get it? Huh? And so I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning, about the peace of God. And if you look at verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A peace that we don't really understand it, but we know it's there. So how do you get that kind of peace? Where does it come from? Who is the originator of that kind of peace? Not some fake peace. The world's full of fakes this day and age. Well, we've heard about the fake news, fake this, fake other. There's so much fake stuff going on. People are looking to see something that resembles the truth. And especially for you and I as saved people, members of a good church, we need to be showing the truth and showing how that truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, can help us get through different things. Now, overseas, one of the cultural things they do there is, if you go to the hospital, you're not getting out until the bill is completely paid. The hospital's not working some payment scheme out. You got to come in and pay for that bill 100% before your patient can go. How do you think that would fly here? It doesn't cost as much. Well, yeah, maybe it doesn't cost quite as much, but it's really expensive when their pay is a whole lot less than what any of you are getting or I'm getting. Okay? So it all kind of evens out. So what they'll do, they go home. Some family member will go home and they will go to the immediate family, extended family, friends, and enemies if they have to, and borrow money to pay that bill. With the idea, they're not going to pay them back anyway, but just to get them out. Now, our folks in the church, I told them, I said, let's think about that for a minute. We say we're saved. We say we trust in an almighty God that's in control of everything. We say we serve a God that will provide and take care of us. But when something like this comes up, we're running to all of the unsaved people we know to get our need met. Pastor, they have to take... Yeah, I know they do. But where does trusting God come into play here? What am I trying to say? What are the unsaved people seeing in their lives? Does what they see in our life match up what's coming out of our mouth?
Right.
And it doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin is or the language you speak or anything else. It's the same thing. My pastor called me years ago. I'd come in on furlough and we were together having fellowship and I was kind of telling him things that were going on. He's over there kind of chuckling. And he said, well, son, you don't have but one problem. Yeah, what's that? He says, the same problem I dealt with all the years I pastored here. It's called sin. And that's it. That's it. Him to know it to do good and do it to not, to him it is sin. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I love the Lord. How do we know? God says, because you keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Do we? Peace. Do they see the peace of God in our life? Said, well, do they see the peace of God in your life all the time, Pastor? I told you a while ago. Not necessarily, not all the time. Do you think I'm different than you are? I got a fleshly body that's full of sin, just like everybody else has got. The only difference is God saved me from my sins. The price has been paid 100%. I didn't do a thing. Jesus Christ did it all on Calvary's cross. So my sins are all paid for. God doesn't see them in my life anymore. He sees the righteousness of Christ in my life. Because my righteousness, according to Isaiah, is nothing but filthy rags. And my wife cringes that she thinks I'm going to illustrate that. And I'll be a good boy because we're not all that long on time, so I won't do it. She's doing this. So I won't embarrass her. Alright? So the peace of God. And everybody, we want peace. And then the same person. How about peace with God when we die? Now, I won't call names. I was talking to a good friend just recently, and the point was being made, well, I knew that if I died, I was going to heaven, I wouldn't worry about it. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. And I believe what the person said. Something happened to her, and I knew she was dying. This old boy would have a real difficult time showing the peace of God to those around him. The only hope I have with that is God's grace is sufficient. And it would be sufficient enough for the one that's dying. And also, I pray, because I know people that are in this situation, I pray, Father, for the spouse or the loved ones, give them the grace to live. To carry on. So that we have the kind of peace that will get us through these circumstances, these situations in our life, and are we showing that peace? Is that peace being shown through our lives as a witness for what God can do? Alright? So, this peace is a sweet peace. And the author, according to 1 Corinthians 14:33, is, for God is not the author of confusion. Oh, I'm confused about something. That didn't come from God. Right? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So, peace that we're looking for, the peace that passes all understanding, that comes from God. You can't manufacture that in yourself. I mean, I've met people that are always positive. I'm not. But are always positive. I'm not knocking that down as long as it's sincere positive, being positive. But they can paint a picture that's perfect, but in their real life, behind the scenes, it doesn't add up with the picture they painted with their mouth. Get it? Okay? So, of her peace is God. Christ is the provider of the peace. Now you're going to see this kind of narrow down as we go. Christ is the provider of the peace according to Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through His blood. Having made peace through His blood on the cross, of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things in Himself. You know, before we were saved, those of us that are saved, and if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, or let's put it this way, if you do not know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, I'm talking to you. Okay? He mentioned the word reconcile. Do you understand, according to the Scriptures, before God saved us, we were at enmity or enemies with God? Now, out of all the people I can think of, so, well, God's not a person. Yes, He is. He's not a human like us, but He has, you study His characteristics, there's things there like a person. I mean, I can talk to a person. Guess what? I can talk to God, too. All right? But we were at His enemy. And if you're not saved, you're still His enemy. Well, you know, God loves everybody. Well, He did. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love. That's love. It's a love that we don't really understand. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God wastes His time with me if you want to know the truth about it. But since He's perfect and He knows everything, He knows more than I do. So it's up to Him to do whatever He wants to do in the way He wants it done. But Christ is where this is coming from. He's the provider of it. He made peace through His blood. He reconciled us. So those that are saved because we have we believe what God's Word says about Jesus and dying on the cross, faith for sins. You know, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So what's faith? Me believing what God says in the book, in the Word. So, if you believe that you're a sinner, and you believe that you deserve to go to hell when you die, according to what Scripture says, and you believe that Christ died for your sins, and you call on Him and ask Him to forgive you and to save you, guess what? God says He'll do it. Every time. So we've been reconciled. Take that to the bank. That's worth more than $1 billion in your bank account. Because we're only going to be here. I'll be 73 in a few weeks. If I live to be your age, it'll be by the grace of God, brother. But anyway, I figure in another 20, 25 years, I'm not going to be here. I'll be in heaven with my Savior for eternity. And I know that. And I'm sure of that because of what God says in His Word. And He will not lie to me. He will not lie to you. And you can have that same kind of assurance that you've been reconciled. And you can have that peace that passeth all understanding. Okay? So the peace is sweet. The peace is precious. In Isaiah 9:6, we usually see that around Christmas time, but in that verse, I won't read it all, it talks about at the end about Christ being the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Jesus is the embodiment or the personification of peace. Ephesians 2:14. For He is our peace. Now, that our, O-U-R, is talking about those of us that God has saved. He is our peace. Okay? He is our peace who hath made both one. No more division between me and God. There's no good. We're together. We're one. How? Jesus Christ. That's how. So I don't understand. God didn't ask us to understand. God told us to believe. My pastor used to say, and I don't know if it was original with him, he said, David, believers believe. A whole lot of truth in that. A whole lot of truth in that. So it's the embodiment. No more separation between God and His children. Let me put this in. I'm going to try to cut a little bit out here, but get this. There is no peace. Now this has a Bible verse that goes with it, Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Well, I'm not wicked. Won't you measure yourself against what God's Word says about sin and wickedness? Are you with me? I'll be through pretty soon. Don't worry about it. Try to stay awake a few more minutes. I tell our folks overseas, you go to sleep on me. I said, deal is, if I can't sleep while I'm preaching, you can't sleep while I'm preaching either. Okay, all right, we've got some of you back now. I see you. All right, so, no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God's not going to lie. To the wicked. The properties of this peace, its origin, it's exclusive. Only comes from Christ. Okay, that's the only way you can get it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Anybody other than myself ever been afraid? Huh? Yeah. This is, we don't have to be. We don't have to be. The world cannot give us this peace. A fine education will not give you this peace. And I'm not against education. Please don't misunderstand me. Money will not give you peace. Don't you like bad money, Pastor? Yeah, I especially like mad money. That's the money, if I don't have it, I get mad. All right, we're back again. All right. No, but money can't give you peace. I told my children years ago, I said, if it comes down to either a job that gives you, in our term overseas, is double porta, lots of money, and another job over here that doesn't give you so much money, but this job you really like, this one is just the money. I said, take the one you like with the less money, you'll be happier. Some of you are old enough, you understand. You've been along the road long enough now, you know that to be true. Money's not going to be dead. You got people that got billions of dollars killing themselves, and they're not happy. It will bring happiness. Now, I like to have money, but it's not something that's on the forefront of my mind all the time. I figure as long as I pay my tithes and my missions giving, whatever else God wants me to give, and I'm a good steward with what's left over, it's up to God to meet my needs. I just got to learn to accept the way He wants to meet them. Okay? So, you get two or three things in this message. I'll keep it at the same price. Alright? So, His peace. The Lord can't give it. I mean, the world can't give it. It's excellent in its character, as we said in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not a question we're going to have peace. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, in a personal relationship with Him. My wife and I, if my calculations are correct, on the 14th of this month, we'll be married 53 years. Is that right? We have a personal relationship with each other. If you do not understand, you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, too. This peace is perfect. Isaiah 26:3. I learned this verse a long time ago. It helped me. It helps me through a lot of things. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know what it means to be stayed on thee? You keep your mind on the Lord. You keep your mind in the book and the Word of God, where we learn about the Lord. So I can't sit around like you preachers and read and study 12, 15 hours a day. I can't do it either. I have to get up and move around. I grew up with TV, so I have to take a commercial break, move around, get a drink, then come back in and hit it again. I found out years ago, studying for me is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And prayer reaches right up there with it. I don't know how it is with some of you, but I get to start praying about something, and this comes into my mind, this comes into my mind, and this comes into my mind. Hard to stay focused. Hard to pray when I'm driving, too. You haven't lived until you've driven in the Philippines. Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. No joke. That's the way it is. So that's the way I drive now. You ever come visit with me, buddy? Hold on. All right. The provision of this peace. This kind of peace brings comfort to the weary. John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are the word. This is the Word of God. This is the stuff, if we have faith in this, it means that we believe what God says. We believe what God says. Well, I believe what God says, and are we obeying what God says? Because if you're not going to obey it, you don't believe it. Here's a chair, okay? I can look at this chair and say, mine, that is a strong chair. That ought to hold me up, no problem, and keep talking about it. But I really don't trust that chair until I put my backside down in it. You get it? We're bad about saying we believe. But there's no proof of what we believe. Faith without works is what? Fatai, dead. Faith without works is dead. Peace brings comfort. Peace brings protection to the weak. We mentioned that in Philippians 4:7. Peace produces fruit of righteousness. Fruit of righteousness, James 3:18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The righteous person, saved person, righteous person is the one that makes peace. Okay? Peace produces a bond. And he was telling the joke about the church with a separating, one went up high on the hill and up the bottom. Get this. Peace produces a bond of unity in the church. Unity in the church, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We do one of these funny things at our church overseas called church discipline. I don't know if anybody remembers what that is. Maybe you do it here. I don't know, and I'm not criticizing. Please understand. And one of the things that can bring that to a person is discord. You know discord? How many of you play guitar? Anybody? Do you? Some more play piano. If you hit the wrong notes, you have discord. And it doesn't make a happy sound. Alright? You get people in the church that aren't unified, it's not a happy sound. And it's definitely not a good testimony in the community. Alright? So God talks about unity. I don't have time to talk about that during this message, but unity is important in the church, and peace helps to produce that. His peace is a blessing from God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So let me ask. You can take this where you want to. I'm about done. Do not raise your hand to me, but between you and God, do you have this peace that passeth all understanding active in your life? Between you and God. God knows everything. Do we have the peace that passes all understanding in our life? Do the unsaved around us see this kind of peace in our life? Well, Pastor, I don't have this kind of peace that you've been talking about. Well, the good news is, Jesus is where it comes from. The Bible talks about that after we die, we're going to stand either as a saved person in front of Christ at the Bema Seat. But that doesn't, that's not a judgment there that determines whether you get to stay in heaven or you're going to be put in hell. That's only for saved people. But then there's another one over in Revelation talking about the great white throne judgment. And that's for all of those, well, the Bible says their name is not written in the book of life. They're not saved. And they will be judged and then put into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, when God saved me, one of the things He impressed upon my mind was hell in a big way. And I knew that's where I was headed. It scared me so bad. So much so that within just a matter of a minute or two, I was headed down the aisle to go talk to somebody about it. And I got saved. I didn't know Joe was following me, and somebody else took her to another room. Actually, God saved both of us on the same day. How about you? If you had to stand at the great white throne judgment without any peace, without any peace, knowing according to what God says. Well, God is love. He would not do that to people. We knew an elderly lady years ago. Well, she read in the Bible about how God had destroyed all these nations in the Old Testament, killed babies and everybody. God is that kind of person because He wants to protect His people. Okay? That's why He wants us to save people, to stay close to Him so we won't be playing with sin and get involved with people that are in sin. How is it with you today? Do you know for sure that when you die you're going to heaven? If you don't know, today's a good day to come and ask the pastor, show you. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. That's between you and God. But we can show you from the Word of God how you can know. How about the rest of us? We know we are saved. Are we an example of this peace that passeth no understanding to the unsaved world around us? Do they see it in our life? Are we talking about it to people? Are we sharing Jesus Christ with people on how to be saved? You know, He gave that command in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the preacher. Hey, that's not just my command. That command was given to the church. And if you're saved and a member of a church, of this church, that command's given to you. And I'm not saying you're not talking to people. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't know. But I know this. We're supposed to be telling people. The Bible says, some sow the seed. That's the gospel. Some water that seed. This is a farming area up here. You ought to understand this. Some water the seed. Sow the seed, water the seed. Then it says, God gives the increase. God gives the increase. So when we're not seeing God give an increase, how much seed are we putting out? How many of you in here like to fish? Raise your hand. Alright? Now, how can I catch more fish? Use one rod and one hook, or maybe put out, I've got a little age on me, or maybe put out half a dozen cane poles around the boat with hooks and bait on all of them. Which do you think is going to catch the most fish? The more hooks we put out, the chances of us catching more fish, right? Would you agree with that? Some of you are not going to vote. Huh? Yeah. Well, how about the thing of presenting the gospel? Well, I talked to somebody about the Lord 5 years ago and they didn't get saved. I haven't talked to anybody since then. Hello. Man, I wish God would save everybody I talk to, but He doesn't. Helps keep me humble. I got nothing to brag about. But He does save some, thank God, that I've seen over the years. But if I won't take the gospel out, how can I expect to see Him doing anything? Somebody asked Spurgeon one time, said, Spurgeon, you say you only believe the elect are going to get saved. Why don't you just preach to them? Why don't you just take the gospel to them? And Spurgeon looked at him, wise old man. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know who they are. If you'll go mark them, then I'll just preach to them. But otherwise, I'm going to do what God said and preach to everybody. And that's what we believe. We have a responsibility, church. And Satan does not want us to do it. That's why if we're not careful, we will grow weary in well-doing. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I got this. I got the other. Like somebody said about another topic earlier, hey, you're that busy? You're too busy. It's time to put God back on the throne. Is He first in our life, in every area of our life? Is He first? Or is family first? I have a family. I love my family. Don't misunderstand. But my family cannot be first. I love my wife dearly. But she can't be first. Huh? See, one head going up and down the restaurant, you look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Told you I was from the country. Alright? How about it? What are we going to do? Somebody said, what is it? The definition of stupidity? Do you know that one? Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Kind of dumb. Would you agree? So, we come in here, get our toes stepped on a little bit, get out, by the next week you've forgotten it all. Oh, how I love Jesus. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for the church. We thank You for Your